It is something that is not, it is not naturally to be kept in his presence. And then you have a little issue. What about the case of Satan's dialogue with God at the beginning of Job, where he, you know, presents himself with the sons of God, and the issue it comes around now. Satan, what have you been doing lately? Satan says, I've been walking around upon the earth, and God says, have you noticed my servant Job? How faithful he is and how committed he is to me. Of course, you know the dialogue and how Satan says, well, yeah, if you did for him what you're doing for him, anybody would be loyal. Take it away and you'll see what happens. Well, he takes it away. It doesn't happen. Touches his skin. And then he'll turn on you. He touches his skin. It still doesn't happen. Now, Job's problems was of a different sort. That comes out at the very end when God reveals himself to Job. But that's a secondary issue to what we're talking about. How does Satan appear, quote, appear, or present himself before God, if evil cannot abide in the presence of God? This was the thought I'd had many years ago, but which has become all the more, shall we say, thinkable, conceivable today than ever before. Have any of you ever done video conferencing? You can have people in your presence who are not in your presence. The possibility of access or communication does not require presence in a physical sense. And so what we have here is the fact that God permitted communication or access. Well, he himself communicated with Satan at the very beginning after the fall when he said, you know, the seed of the woman would crush your head. So he was talking to him, right? It was even contact in that particular case. But it was a contact to deliver judgment. So you can have presence or access or communication or dialogue without having dwelling, without being there. Now, whether we want to use the video conference analogy or some other analogy, the point of the matter is that's the principle. That God could observe the evil. He could deal with the evil. He could even communicate with those who are evil without having them dwell in his presence. And so my argument is that you could have that same dialogue at the beginning of Job without it requiring that Satan be someone who had, shall we say, a card entry into heaven to traipse in whenever he pleased. Because he is called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. And by the way, that's what the word devil means, an accuser. He's the accuser, but he doesn't have to be present to be the accuser. He doesn't have to dwell in heaven to be the accuser. And he'll still be the accuser. He caused the problem and then he accuses them of the problem that he caused. Weird, warped mind that he has. So, why am I making such a deal out of this? Because there are those who argue that in effect, he had free access to roam about heaven whenever he chose, and you know, come in and stick the needle into God whenever he chose, you know, to complain about fallen human creatures whenever he chose, and so on. But God permits Satan to do things, and even uses Satan to do things. He is not subject to the whim of Satan and his desire to do things. It isn't like that God says, oh no, he's here back again. Oh no. Who left the door open? Well, Satan, once he fell, I believe other passages of Scripture will bear out, was cast out of heaven. Cast out of heaven. It wasn't, uh-oh, he fell. And by the way, some of the arguments that are used to say that he could have fallen at an earlier stage, but was still able to be present in heaven, was that there's a difference between falling and being cast out. I think they're the same thing. Once he fell, he was cast out. God could not abide him any longer in his presence. Evil cannot dwell in his presence. God cannot behold evil. Now, what are those passages? And time is coming to an end. We'll have to finish this next time. But let me give you one or two. Who was there mucking up the works at the beginning of Adam and Eve's time upon the earth? Satan. Was he there to do good? No. Was he there to cause their fall? Yes. Was he on the earth? Yes. How'd he get there? He was thrown out of heaven upon the earth. He was there before Adam and Eve appeared on the scene. He had already fallen and he was already cast down. He was there to cause trouble. Already there. And all throughout history, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find Satan doing his thing. How does he do his thing unless he's here upon the earth already? How did he get to the earth? He was cast down to the earth. He tempts Jesus during his time of ministry here upon the earth. How does he happen to be around to tempt Jesus during his time upon the earth? Because he was cast down upon the earth. He tempts us today. How can he do that? If there's still future and he's still up there somewhere, you know, making trouble for God. He's cast out of heaven. He's here. He's causing trouble for us. He's the prince of the power of the air. The spirit of disobedience who works in the hearts of the children of disobedience. So what I'm trying to tell you is that everything in Scripture tells us that Satan fell, and then some passages say that Satan not only fell in the sense of became an imperfect creature, a fallen creature, but that he was cast out of heaven. And one of those places, and this we'll conclude with and we'll continue this and finish this next time, is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel, chapter 28. There's much more, but this is important because for some reason, people seem to think it's so important to keep Satan having access and being able to walk around heaven whenever he chooses until that time comes. Ezekiel 28. It blurs the line between good and evil, quite frankly. Ezekiel 28. Where a prophecy concerning the king of Tyre is given, and in this prophecy concerning the king of Tyre and his judgment is contained a prophecy concerning Satan and his judgment. So Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 12. It's addressed to the king of Tyre, but embedded within that is a message to Satan. You were the seal of perfection. This is 28:12 of Ezekiel. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Satan was there. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were created a gorgeous creature. 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Clear reference to Satan. One of the original protectors of the throne of God. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, here it is, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. I cast you out. That's God speaking. I'll take his word any day over any commentator, thank you. Now, Jesus said, and with this we will close, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, the disciples came back from a trip one day, a missions trip, and they found that they were able to, that the demons responded to them as they exorcised them. Even the demons pay attention to us and do what we say. They said to Jesus, they were gloating. And Jesus said in Luke 10, 18, don't you boast and brag that the demons are subject to you, but that your name is written in the book of life. And immediately following in 10:18 of Luke, he says, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Saw is past tense. Aorist, once for all. When was this occurring? While Jesus was upon the earth. Past tense to whom? Past to Jesus. I saw Satan. Jesus gives testimony that Satan was cast out. God in Ezekiel says, I cast you out. Evil cannot abide in the presence of God. God cannot continue to behold evil in his presence. Cast out upon the earth. Access, yes. Communication, yes. But not presence. And so what we find here, what we will find here when we get to the verses later on here in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, is that we have the ending of some of the access. The presence was already ended before Adam and Eve came on the scene. But now even the access is cut off. That's what we're going to look at when we get to 7 to 9. So, thank you for listening. Understand that God is judge and he will not abide evil in us or in the world without dealing with it in one way or another. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer.